So, how many of you at this point are saying, there's a lot of talk about the resurrection of the dead, and I don't get it? Any of you? Well, hey, there's no need in talking about it then. Okay, but you know what? Just in case. There are several major, I hate to call them themes. You know, I used to be an English teacher, and a theme is like, people hear a theme and they say, oh no, please. But there are several major themes to Rosh Hashanah. One is that this is the time of the year the sages of Israel say that God created the world. Now, why would they say that? Everybody calls it Rosh Hashanah. But you know, that's really not his name. Its name is Yom Teruah, the day of shouting, the day of the breath, the day of the Ruach, the day of the Spirit. Because when God created the world and the heavens and the earth and everything else, God spoke, and there it was. So that's one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah. Another one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is about the resurrection of the dead. And that's what I'm really going to talk about tonight. But another one is about God judging the earth. Now, I'm going to tell you, I grew up hearing people say, oh, I fear God's judgment. But based upon what we were just reading, which comes from thousands of years of Jewish prayer, we're calling upon God to judge the world. And why is that? Because if we are righteous, God will judge in our favor. If we're wicked, it won't be so good. But even now, in our daily lives, from time to time, God judges us. Sometimes to deliver us from a bad situation, and sometimes, as my daddy used to say, to go back behind the barn and get you straightened out. Okay, so we all understand that part of it as well. But tied in to every bit of this is the sounding of the shofar. And the sounding of the shofar calls us back to a time where God called Abraham. And he said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and go and make of him a burnt offering. And it said Abraham got up early the next morning. He didn't argue with God. He didn't say, look, I got to have a sign. He knew that God had spoken to him. And he got up early the next morning to go and do exactly what God had said. Now, that may seem a little bit odd, but God had made Abraham a promise years before. I'm going to give you a son. And through your son, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore. And he told him again, count the stars if you can. Your descendants are going to be more numerous than that. So Abraham knew something was going to happen. I'm going to obey God. And God is either going to stop me from doing it, which, honestly, I can't imagine it even thought that. But he knew that if he carried it out, there was going to be a miraculous resurrection right there on the mountain, because God's word is true and God's word is right. And there is no denying that what God says will be, will be. This is called the Akedah. And so he took him up there and he said, Father, I see the wood, and I see the stones, and I see everything. Where's the lamb? And he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. Oh, I love that. God will provide himself a lamb for sacrifice. And we know that that's exactly what would happen many years later. Messiah Yeshua, whether you call him Yeshua by his real, true Hebrew name, or if you call him Jesus by what our Christian brothers and sisters call him, or if you call him Jesus, any of those names that he is known by, talking about the same one. And so Abraham did. He went up and he did exactly what he was told. He bound Isaac. And Isaac was not a little boy. Isaac was a grown man by this time. He bound him and was about to do exactly what he said that he was going to do. And at the very last moment, just before the moment of destruction, a voice from heaven called out to him and said, "Abraham, stop." And that is what I'm going to talk about. But before I get there, I want to just say a few more things about it. When the angel said, "Stop," he looked up right at that moment, at the moment just before destruction. And there was a ram caught in the thorn bushes. His horns caught in the thorn bush. Now, let's see, at the very last moment, and the rabbis have said that in that moment, Abraham received his son Isaac back from the dead. They said Isaac was as good as dead. Now, in case some of you may think, okay, well, the Jewish sages may say that, but come on, really. If you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says exactly the same thing. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews said that he received him back from the dead. So the question really is, what does this have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Well, if you back up a little bit, who is it that Isaac represents? Isaac represents all of Israel. And so there's got to be something here that ties in with the resurrection. So what does that mean as far as what's going on today? 1948, Israel came back from the dead. There was a time that the Hebrew language completely and totally disappeared. The Hebrew language has also been resurrected from the dead. The nation of Israel brought back from the dead. And the rabbis are teaching, even today, we might be in the land of Israel, but we're still scattered. It's called the diaspora. And that may sound a little strange. Well, they're in their land. How can they be scattered? Because the rabbis are saying that until Messiah comes, they will always be dispersed, because it's going to take Messiah coming and bringing the people of Israel exactly where they need to be. Now, if there are some of you who are thinking, what's the big deal about Israel? Israel is the apple of God's eye. If you are a Gentile who believes and trusts in Yeshua, whether you call him Yeshua or Jesus, that means you're grafted into Israel. We belong to Israel. We belong with Israel. And we are responsible to Israel. So we're part of it. There's no separation that's supposed to be going on. So could it be? You got people all over the world who believe in the Messiah of Israel. Could it be that Israel has missed their Messiah? And I think the answer is absolutely, positively yes. So, what does that mean for the Gentiles who trust in Israel's Messiah? We just kind of carry on and do the things that we do. We have our responsibility. So, I'll get to that a little bit later. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20. To talk about, did the Jews miss their Messiah? Deuteronomy 32:20. God is speaking. "I will hide my countenance from them and see how they fare in the end." In the end. That's not talking about at the end of the day. That is talking about at the end of the age. So already, right there in the law of Moses, the Torah, God is already saying, "I'm going to hide my face from my people. And they're going to find out in the end exactly what's going to happen." So, God withdrew his presence from everybody. And the sages of Judaism, the wisest men who have studied the Holy Scripture throughout time, this is what they said. They said, when the temple was destroyed, the glory that was on the temple and there in Jerusalem was dispersed throughout all the earth. No longer there in Jerusalem. Well, that kind of begs a question. If the glory of God left Jerusalem with the destruction of the temple, the question is, where is it? I'll get to that. So before I get to that, I want to tell you real quickly. First day of creation, God said, let there be light. However, the sun, the moon, and the stars were not created until the fourth day. So the glory, the light, is departed from Jerusalem, and yet at creation, the first thing there is some mysterious light. And the sun and moon and stars aren't there till day four. What is this mysterious light? His name is Yeshua. He has been there from the beginning. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he became flesh and dwelt among men. Yeshua was there from the very beginning. Okay? And that was that light. And the light that was there in Jerusalem, the glory of God, Yeshua walked there in the streets of Israel. And he even told them, because of your baseless hatred for each other, you're going to find your houses desolate. And that's exactly what happened. So, another time, there was a talk in several places in Scripture about the angel of the Lord. For example, the angel of the Lord in Exodus, God said, I'm going to send my angel before you, and he's going to have my name. So there's something special about this specific angel of the Lord. He says, you listen to him, and don't you do anything against what he says. There's another time that the elders of Israel ate. It says they ate in God's presence. Hang on a second. How can they eat in God's presence and see God when God had already said, no man sees me? Because if you were to see me, it would consume you. Well, let's see. Maybe it was this angel that had God's name in him. And then there was Samson. His mom had seen the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Samson, to his mother, as though he was God himself. Something peculiar about this angel. This angel allowed people to bow down before him, and he spoke as though he was God. Could it be that Israel has missed their Messiah? Yes, because he's hidden from them. Even when they saw him, they didn't know who he was. So, I want to go real quickly to Isaiah 52, 6 and 10. My people shall know my name on that day. Now, there's a little something here for you. You see the Hebrew there? On that day, and I don't have it in yellow up at the very top. That says Bayom Hahu. Anytime in Scripture you see Bayom Hahu, on that day, that's talking about the day at the end of the age that was already mentioned, Ha'akarit. Okay? And for I am he who speaks, here I am. He's saying Hineni. And I really don't have time to go into that. Verse 10, the Lord has revealed his holy arm before the eyes of all nations. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. The Lord has revealed his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. Who are the nations? Everybody but. Come on, somebody tell me. Everybody but Israel. The Lord has revealed his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. But look at what it says in the first one. My people shall know my name on that day. In other words, for some reason, very few would come to know who Yeshua was when he first walked the earth. And when the glory left the temple, the faith spread. So where is the glory today? It's with those who believe in Messiah Yeshua. Whether you call him Yeshua or you call him Jesus, that is where the glory is today. But we have a responsibility. So, that's the glory that left Jerusalem, the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua. So if the nations know it, If everybody knows it but the Jewish people, why is that? Now, if you read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, most of you will see where it says, he was a man acquainted with sorrows, a man of grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. But I want to show you the actual correct interpretation. He was despised, shunned by men, a man of suffering, familiar with disease, as one who hides his face from us. Please do not take my word for this. This is earth-shattering. Most translations say, as one from whom men hide their faces. No, 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 no. Go and check the Hebrew on this. As one who hides his face from us. Why does Israel not know who the Messiah is? He is hiding his face from them. Why, God, would you do that? They're your chosen people. That's good news for us. Because in doing so, it opened the door for Gentiles. And I'm a Gentile, I'm not Jewish. It opened the door for Gentiles to come in. So, hard to imagine. Moses and Isaiah both spoke of the same thing. God has given them a spirit of dullness, eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear, right down to the present day. God had done this to his own people. How many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Rav Shaul, Rabbi Shaul? I bet you have. You probably know him by the name Paul the Apostle. He was a rabbi, a great rabbi. He wrote to the believers in Rome, chapter 11. Have they stumbled with the result that they have permanently fallen away? Heaven forbid. When you hear people saying, God has cast out the Jews because they crucified Jesus, tell them, go and read what was written in God's word. If we are saying that happened to the Jews ought to believe what's the matter. I've had people ask me, why don't they believe? And I mean, some of them kind of get a little upset about it. God has blinded their eyes. And if we're going to criticize them for not believing, we're judging. This is a day of judgment, and we're judging God. Heaven forbid that we would do such a thing. So, quite the contrary, he says, it is by means of their stumbling that the deliverance has come to the Gentiles in order to provoke them to jealousy. Ladies and gentlemen, Yeshua has hidden his face from the Jewish people so that the Gentiles can come in, so that we are able to call upon the name of the Holy One of Israel. But what's our responsibility? Right there. We are called to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. And if we're not provoking them to jealousy, if we're just kind of, you know, waiting until the day that we either die or, you know, something happens and we go to heaven, we're failing. We're not doing what God has called us to do. So, major importance. Because Messiah will not come back until they call him. If you don't believe me, go to the book of Matthew. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen would gather his chicks, but you're not willing. You will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's going to be the Jewish people who call him back. And if we want to see him, we better get about the business of provoking them to jealousy. Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up real quickly here. I told my wife it's going to be 20 minutes and no more. She laughed. Some of you are laughing. Why are you laughing? It's 20 minutes and no more. Romans 11:25. For brothers, I want you to understand this truth which God formerly concealed, but now revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. Who is Paul writing to? He's writing to the Romans. Are the Romans Jewish people? No, they're Gentiles like me and most of you. And he's giving them a warning here. I want to start over. For brothers, I want you to understand this truth which God formerly concealed, but now is revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. It is that stoniness. They're not believing because he's blinded their eyes to a degree, has come upon Israel until the Gentile world enters its fullness. So until the Gentile world enters its fullness, they're not going to believe. Oh. Well, you talk to a lot of people, and you're going to hear a lot of different theories about what that really means. Well, I'm going to give you my theory on what it means based on Scripture. Begs the question, when does that happen? So the stoniness and the Gentile enters into its fullness. There's your answer. The Gentiles enter into their fullness when Israel calls upon their Messiah. It won't happen until then. Okay? So, I have a question for you. How many of you in here, how many of us in here, trust in Israel's Messiah, Yeshua, whether you call him Yeshua or you call him Jesus? Next question. How many of you, how many of us are dead? Let me ask it again. How many of us are dead? I'll give you the answer. If you raised your hand and you said you trust in Israel's Messiah, I got news for you. Colossians 3, 3 and 4. Do I have it up here? Yeah. Look what it says. For you have died. So I'm going to ask you again. He's writing to believers. So I'm going to ask you again. How many of you who believe in Messiah Yeshua are now dead? Does it creep you out a little bit? It shouldn't. For you have died, and your life is hidden. Oh, so we're dead, but we're still alive. Hey, such a deal. Your life is hidden with the Messiah and God. When the Messiah, who is our life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Wow. What does this mean? This means that we as dead people have our life hidden with the Messiah. We think we're alive right now. We don't have a clue what life really and truly is until he comes back and he brings it with him. Do we get what's going on here? I got to say that again. We're dead. And our life is hidden with the Messiah. And we're not going to have that life until he comes back. But he's not coming back until Israel cries out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Abraham ready to sacrifice Isaac. It was not until the very, very last moment before the destruction of Isaac, his son, that he realized, here's my resurrection for my son, because a substitution was put in his place. Israel doesn't see Messiah Yeshua for two reasons. God is allowing the Gentiles to come in, but we have not provoked the Jewish people to jealousy. How many of you want to see Yeshua come back? Romans 11:15. For if they're casting Yeshua aside means reconciliation for the world, what will their accepting him mean? It will be life from the dead. When Israel has their resurrection, when Israel comes to believe in Messiah Yeshua and they are resurrected from the dead because they got to be grafted back in, then we will also have our resurrection. And when is it going to happen? When Yeshua steps down out of the heaven to the shout of an angel. Remember, Abraham heard the voice from heaven. He steps down out of heaven and the shout of an angel and the sound of a shofar, a ram's horn. When that day comes and Israel cries out, we're going to see a a resurrection of the dead for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. It is going to be a great and wonderful day, and I keep stepping on this cord. Ezekiel 29, real quickly, I'm going to wrap this up. Then the nations will know that I am Adonai, their God. No, I'm sorry, I can't read. Then they will know that I am Adonai, their God, since it was I who caused them to go into exile among the nations. He's talking about Israel. And it was I who regathered them to their own land. This is happening right now. I will leave none of them anymore, and I will no longer hide my face from them. For I poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says Adonai Elohim. Remember the Bayom HaHu, and on that day, Zechariah chapter 14 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth when Israel calls their king to him. In that day, Bayom HaHu, shall the Lord be one, and his name will be one. That's going to be the resurrection of the dead for all of us. So, quick question. You already said, yeah, I'm ready to see the Messiah come back. Here's my next question. Are you willing to do whatever is necessary to bring about the day of his return? Because we must stir the Jewish people to jealousy. Are you willing to do what God has instructed us to do? Because until that time, he waits and he waits and he waits, but the day of judgment is coming for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. So, if the sound of the shofar resounds deeply in your soul, answer the call. It's that simple, just answer the call. Because when that day happens, we're going to be alive and we're going to experience life like nobody among us can possibly imagine.